it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. Congresswoman, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be on again.
Now, lots going on, but I want to start, since we are on AM radio, I want to start with this bill to keep AM radio in cars. I've seen a lot of bipartisan support. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, this is an important bill, and it has to deal with public safety. So as you all know, we're all kind of addicted to our phones and our devices and our Wi-Fi and all that. But in the end, if something should happen to our systems and they get taken down, hopefully it won't happen, we have AM radio available in our cars for emergency purposes, which is why I'm the co-sponsor of this bill, also led by Representative Gus Bilirakis, who's from Florida. And a number of Democrats have supported it. It's a bipartisan bill, and it's really about safety. And it's about making sure we have a backup in the event of a catastrophic, you know, change to our infrastructure. And AM radio has always provided that. And in cars is really important. So we have people driving that could be stranded. You could get news and immediate and emergency alerts on it. We had a horrific accident on the thruway yesterday, and it was a real tragedy. It's a Friday. It was a real tragedy, and if we had no cell phone coverage or no electronic coverage, that way, you know, we would have AM radio. So big advocate of AM radio for that reason. But also, you know, obviously I'm an AM radio listener because I like the fact that we have a lot of variety on AM radio, your show and many others. And it's really just a way to preserve and protect free speech and a place for people to go on a radio frequency that they might not be able to get otherwise.
Now, you're also co-sponsor of the Community News and Small Business Support Act. Tell us about that.
Yeah, again, we have so much media. We are bombarded every day. We have social media from all kinds of social media. None of it is verified or can be verified, whether to the truth of it, to the reach of it, or the content of it, you know, making sure that what we're getting is accurate. And a lot of these locally owned and operated newspapers, you know, are really thriving in our communities and local media, and they bring us local news that we really need. Again, another, you know, good security issue, a backup for emergency, but also to protect the fact that we need to get local news and accurate and verified information to people. And I was the former publisher of a weekly newspaper, so I know how hard we worked every day to get news and important local information out to our readers. We did letters to the editor. We also supported virtually every nonprofit in our region and gave them free advertising. We also supported all our fire departments, everyone that was out there trying to provide services that needed a place to get their messages out. We had legal notices in one of our newspaper editions, which I'd love to get in all of them. And those are important because they get out important information to consumers and to the constituents. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of local news, and I hate to think we're going to lose that. And so it's just a tax credit, and it gives them an opportunity to thrive when there's so many influencers and other people who are using, you know, shock jock type of news and not necessarily accurate to get the attention of listeners who are very busy working, who really don't know or have the time to verify what's getting into their mailboxes or what's actually getting on the news, even online.
Congresswoman, obviously over the last few weeks, we've seen the president meet with Russian President Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky in two separate instances. Now, obviously, you hear a lot of talk in the on the mainstream media. What did you take away from what you've heard from those two meetings, and what is next?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely incredible what President Trump is doing. It's groundbreaking. Incredible that he got all these European leaders to come into a room and talk about what we need to do to find a way to peace in this horrible conflict where, you know, Putin just went in and invaded a sovereign country like Ukraine. We want to make sure that we've got everyone on board, everyone working towards the goal of trying to find peace and end the war. I mean, President Trump wants to end the killing. Putin wants power. He doesn't care about killing people who are in his way. And I think it's a noble goal for the president to try to get there using leadership and collaboration from leaders. But remember, we're only in this situation because President Trump is president, because he has unleashed American energy. He is building our economy, and he has put Russia in a little bit of a hold and a box because they need an economy to move forward. And they also are being isolated because we are now unleashing American energy. We are selling gas and oil to European countries. We're cutting off Russia's access to these countries, which is putting Russia in a tough economic spot, which is the reason Putin is coming to the table. The opposite was happening under Joe Biden. We were cutting off our ability to grow and gain strength on the economy and also in energy, which we're now dominant. And I think this is really important. It's the whole strategy and getting these leaders on the world stage. And I will tell you, I meet with CEOs of companies. I meet with interesting meetings with ambassadors, with recently Arab sheikhs who are in Israel, of all places. They all want what? A meeting in the Oval Office with President Trump to help them resolve their issues. It is really critically important. It's one of the reasons that I have labeled him the peace president. It's one of the reasons I think I'm the only one so far who's actually filled out the Nobel Peace Prize application online in the period that you can open nominations twice for President Trump, last year's, and it's currently active and open in this cycle. And I encourage people to do it again. I mean, you may not like President Trump, but look what he is doing on the world stage. It's absolutely unprecedented. And it's what we needed, and we are leading again around the world for peace and for the economy, for energy, and President Trump is showing that we can do that again.
You know, you mentioned during the Biden years, the opposite was going on. You know, I see so many criticisms, and I'm trying to not let my opinion get into this question, but you see so many criticisms of President Trump meeting with President Putin. What else do you think people on the left are expecting him to do? I mean, you can't keep on doing what Biden was doing because that's why we are where we're today. I don't understand the criticisms.
Yeah, they don't have any criticism. They don't have any policy. They're coddling criminals. They just have Trump derangement syndrome. If President Trump were to cure cancer and save every starving child in the world, he would be considered. They would still be attacking him for something. And look at what he's doing, though. It's really important. And they don't know what to do because their icons like Gavin Newsom are destroying their state. Kathy Hochul is destroying our state along with the state legislature. We're about to have potentially a governor or a mayor in the city of New York who is openly a socialist, you know, deriving his philosophy on governing in the city of New York, the capitalist city of New York, the capitalist state of New York. Unfortunately, turning it Marxist. He's an open anti-Semite. He's against the police. He's for, you know, continuing to give free handouts. He's a fake populist. He's really just a danger to New York, and he's also against energy. And Gavin Newsom, meanwhile, he continues to push draconian, far left climate agenda with, you know, total electrification, anti-fossil fuels agenda. You know, he's begging the energy providers to bring more drilling, more refining to Canada or to California because their energy grid is catastrophic. It's dangerous, and they're having brownouts. The same thing in New York. Kathy Hochul just signed into law a bill that would ban any fossil fuel appliances, meaning any new hookups on a new building, 7 stories or less, but ultimately all that would have a gas boiler, for example, or an oil furnace. These things are going to be devastating to New York's energy grid, and we don't have the infrastructure to even handle the electrification of this terrible goal that the Democrats seek without any kind of plan, without any kind of consideration for consumer choice and the ability of Americans, and especially New Yorkers, to be able to have access to affordable and reliable.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Energy. it'll be catastrophic. It is already for New York. We won't be able to grow our economy. We won't have the industry that we need to grow. People will be freezing to death. They will be leaving. They will not be able to maintain their businesses. This is a real problem, and Kathy Hochul is going down the same path that Gavin Newsom did, and they're begging for fossil fuels. And I will tell you something that's really important. Stop blaming National Grid. This is the policy of the Democrats that is forcing National Grid to have a compromised energy grid, and they're being forced to provide reliability. Look, we have got to do something about this. It is really dangerous what is happening in this state, and this is happening on January 1st, which is just months away.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, we've talked to, obviously, with Republicans in Albany. We have a problem getting state Democrats on this very show, but they're welcome whenever if they want to explain or tell us how we're going to get to the goal of the governor.
Let me just give you a great example. The city of New York, the largest city in the United States, has one pipeline. It's the New Jersey pipeline that goes from New Jersey to the West Side Highway. And New York City's electrical grid is 90% dependent on natural gas, which they are trying to ban in the state. Upstate New York, we have Niagara Falls. We have all of the nuclear power plants that are in New York 24, which are emission-free, reliable baseload power, which we need. We also have a lot of people relying on propane and other sources, but they're going to take those away from us. It's New York City that is going to actually suffer the most from this. How are they going to accomplish this? And I'll tell you, I have a very good friend in the energy business recently speaking with Governor Murphy of New Jersey, who thinks New York is absurd and idiotic for what they're doing on energy. He understands the need to have natural gas. Right across the line, a state run by Democrats, Pennsylvania has natural gas. They are doing responsible gas drilling that is saving Pennsylvania and keeping them a viable, relevant state. New York, the fourth largest state in the nation, is going to collapse under this policy. It is going to collapse us economically. We're going to have a catastrophic energy policy. It is the most important issue we face, along with the crime problem that is finally being resolved because of simple policies being enforced by President Trump.
Also on the radar, illegal immigration, and we see this driver. He was an illegal immigrant, got his license, I believe, in California, and now three people are dead because he was driving a semi truck. And Congresswoman, I saw this morning where over 1 million people have signed a petition to lessen the punishment. I understand states' rights, but what can the federal government do to states like California who are giving illegals driver's license, and then we see what happened with that semi-truck?
Well, they could pass my red light law, which prohibits driver's license to illegal immigrants, and if you do that, then you don't get your federal funding, which New York is dependent on. It all comes down to money with the Democrats because they're wasting our taxpayer dollars on everything. The illegal immigrants are consuming a lot of our taxpayer dollars, our local taxpayer dollars, Medicaid dollars, all those things. You keep hearing the Democrats screaming about their Medicaid being cut. Well, guess what? The Medicaid cuts. I've had people call my office. My Medicaid has been cut. My daughter's Medicaid was cut because of the One Big Beautiful Bill. Well, guess what? The Medicaid cuts don't actually take place until 2028. So no one's Medicaid has been cut, and that means that, you know, there is time for New York to reform its policies. We have the highest per capita Medicaid costs of any state in the entire nation, and that includes California. That includes Alaska, which has a much higher burden to meet because of their transportation and issues with weather and their geography. Look, it is incredible what we spend and waste and allow with fraud, abuse, and waste that goes on in an institutionalized way in the state of New York. And the New York government refuses to do anything about it. You know why? Because if they reform it, they'll get less matching funds coming from the federal government. But they're fine bilking their own taxpayers and bilking the federal taxpayers in order to get all the goodies to all their special donors and people in managed care who actually take advantage of it, to the expense of the truly needy people in our communities who are dependent on Medicaid. We want to protect it for them. We want to protect our rural hospitals that aren't getting the fair reimbursement. I've got a bill and an initiative in right now that would help them. So there's so much going on where the Democrats don't want to talk about policy. They talk about process. you know, they're obsessed with redistricting, which they have the most gerrymandered districts in all of the nation, including our state. Even though an independent redistricting commission did this, our districts are still gerrymandered. We still have many more Democrats than the percentage of New Yorkers that actually are registered Republicans in the state. So, you know, the Democrats scream about things that don't matter to people. The people care about crime. They care about affordable energy. They care about living in their homes and being with their families. They care about their daughter getting raped by an illegal immigrant and then getting set free to go rape somebody else's daughter. I mean, these are facts of life. But you know what? Everything the Democrats say about Donald Trump is cruel. I think it's pretty cruel when you have a daughter that's exposed to someone who's here illegally and who's involved in human trafficking, who's committing crimes against our children. That's pretty cruel to me, but the Democrats don't see it that way. You know, they don't want to deal with the rule of law, and that's all we're asking for is common sense and the rule of law. It's going to be so critical in our local elections and actually next year when we have a gubernatorial race and statewide elections.
Congresswoman, we're seeing the National Guard in Washington, D.C., and, you know, despite what you might see, again, on some of the mainstream media, we're actually hearing some people say, you know, they feel safer to go on subways. They feel safer to go out. The president has mentioned Chicago, New York as the next city that he's targeting. When and what could we see in those cities?
Yeah, we'll see what the president has to story. You know, the Democrats act like this is something unprecedented. First of all, the District of Columbia is under federal jurisdiction. It is allowed by statute. So what the president is doing is perfectly legal, and it was actually part of what our founders envisioned. They also specifically do not want Columbia, the District of Columbia, to be a state. And the Democrats are always clamoring for that because all they care about is power and grabbing two Senate seats and more congressional seats. But when it comes to safety, I live in District of Columbia probably more than I live in my own district because we're in Congress 3 weeks out of every month except for the month of August. And I'll tell you, it's very dangerous. I've had multiple carjackings in front of my office. One of my own staffers got held up at gunpoint and his wallet and his phones taken from him and his friend outside of a restaurant in the District of Columbia. You've seen members of Congress carjacked in the District of Columbia. You've seen, you know, crime all over against people who live in anywhere in the region. And people are really welcoming this. I don't know who these Democrats are who are these protesters. They're probably paid protesters, more than likely, going around and objecting to, you know, having a rule of law in the District of Columbia. I love it. I hope President Trump comes up with ways to make sure that we hold these big cities accountable. Look at Rochester, New York, always trending as one of the most dangerous cities in the Northeast. You know, wouldn't it be great if we actually had some rule of law and accountability to the criminals there, where we know we have gang members, we have other people engaged in organized crime, we have people engaged in violent crime that are in safe haven in these cities. Why? Why are we allowing that? You know, our businesses can't thrive. People can't enjoy walking the streets in these cities safely. And I think that's something that we really should look into. And when the Democrats cry, oh, you can't bring the National Guard in, well, let me remind them that Kathy Hochul brought the National Guard in to when she was displacing and not caring about the needs of our corrections officers across the state after two inmate facilities in our state were overrun by inmates. We had to bring in the National Guard. They were wonderful. We appreciate their service, but they're not trained like our corrections officers are. This is a time now when we need to go back and crack down, enforce the rule of law. That's all it is. It's not about, you know, with the craziness they're talking about, all of these authoritarian regimes. It's about enforcing the law, keeping people safe, and having people understand there are going to be consequences when you commit crimes against other people.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, Congresswoman, always great catching up with you.
Yeah, great to have you. Great to talk to you, Joe. Thanks so much.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.